All right, good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Year. It is Thursday, January, what, 9th? 9th. Thursday afternoon. The pastors of Brian have come together. In the center of the table is a blue silver mic and a bobblehead of, what's that character's name?
Phil
Robertson. And so Phil is joining us for this discussion, or we wish we could get Phil here. Maybe we should say it like that. Of course, there's no way in the world a man that popular would ever give us a minute of his time. Those sound effects, thank you, David.
That's still nodding in agreement.
Right, that he would never give us a minute of his time. He's too busy duck hunting, probably.
We need to set up a duck blind outside.
Yeah.
So Phil made some very, very, very controversial remarks. The world got upset at him. Evangelical Christians rallied around him. And Trevor Hammack, who does a gazillion podcasts every day, asked the question, why is the world of evangelical Christians rallying around a heretic? That's a pretty strong statement.
Very strong.
So I began thinking about that, and he said it before Christmas. We'd already decided that we were going to all be gone over Christmas. And so I sent you guys an email and said, let's get together and discuss this. Trevor read, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some and trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. So really it doesn't, let's forget about Phil. Because Phil's just one individual. But behind Phil is an entire entity called the Church of Christ. And it's not just the Church of Christ, there are others as well. But the Church of Christ in particular has taken a very strong stand that baptism is absolutely necessary for salvation. But it goes way back. I mean, this is not a new thing. Alexander Campbell is the founder. Now, they would disagree with that. They would say he's not the founder, that Jesus Christ is the founder of their church. Every denomination wants to do that. But in essence, Campbell is the one that was a Baptist and left Baptist to start Church of Christ, because he felt like Baptists had it wrong on baptism and there needed to be a greater emphasis on baptism. So the question that we have for discussion today is, are these people accursed? Are they going to hell? I mean, isn't that really the ultimate question, David? I mean, that's what we want.
Is this a false gospel?
Right. Is this a false gospel? And if it is a false gospel, then why are we rallying around a man who purports a false gospel? Because he's speaking everywhere. I mean, him and his brothers, all of them, they're in super high demand.
The book sales have skyrocketed since this whole thing came out. Not that they weren't already doing very well.
Here's the statement of faith from his church, White Ferries Road Church. We are the body of believers saved by the grace of the one true God shown through the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, when he became flesh, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and ascended back to the Father on our behalf. Because we are saved, we make every effort, though sometimes feeble, to bring glory to the one that rescued us from the curse of sin and gives us hope on this earth and beyond this earth. We believe we have the greatest mission to share the greatest message in the context of the greatest command. And that is it. That's all you find on the website.
Yeah. All right, their website.
Their website. His church website. Right. I emailed the senior minister, and of course, nothing happened. But Why did he seem to go away? Why does their statement seem to differ with the rest of Church of Christ churches?
Right, because, I mean, we're not making something up. Church of Christ is adamant about the fact that baptism is essential for salvation.
Yeah, I was doing some research on third-party websites that, you know, just looking at what Church of Christ believe. And I think it is just as much as we would find a Baptist church that does not agree with us. I'm sure there is someone who is labeled as a Church of Christ that would be not as quite adamant about some of what the Church of Christ as a denominational whole, what we would say they would believe, what they normally would adhere to, that they would adhere to that. Which really kind of seems, I mean, I don't know why this Church of Christ, as popular as they would be, when you find out that's the church that the Robertsons go to, why do they not have more about their website? I mean, if you're talking website hits, why don't they have a Duck Commander link on their website? You know, home of, they don't advertise that at all. And they don't have anything for the people who want to come. I mean, they spend more telling the website viewers who their staff is than they do about their beliefs or about their services or anything like that.
Here's a statement from the Hills Church of Christ. I just tried to find as many as I could and picked a couple. We need salvation because we sin. Sin separates us from God, who desires a relationship with us. It's impossible for any man to restore that relationship with God by any amount of goodness, deeds, or belonging to a church. We cannot earn, merit, or achieve a right relationship with God by our own efforts. The death of Christ was not an accident. It was God's plan from the beginning to save us from sin through the death of Christ. The Bible calls God's act of love and grace. His grace is his gift to us. The way we receive his gift is by entering into a covenant relationship with Jesus, by placing our trust and faith in him. When we decide that we will follow Jesus for the rest of our life, we demonstrate our trust in Jesus by obeying his command to be immersed in water, demonstrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Okay, well, it sounds to me, unless I missed something, that I'd have a hard time disagreeing with that.
But then, when you click on the baptism link,
okay,
what about baptism?
This is a different web page.
Same church.
Same church, same but church. A different web page.
Yep. Baptism classes. Baptism is a serious step in the life of a believer. It not only is a cleansing from sin, but also a close identification with Christ. Of course, there is no power in the water. The power is in a person's faith that God is connecting them to the cleansing blood of Christ through their expression of faith. It is an infusion of God's grace and a powerful outward sign of a person's relationship to Jesus. By it, one publicly proclaims their identity with Christ rather than the world.
So, what's the infusion part, Joey?
God is connecting them to the cleansing blood of Christ through their expression of faith. It is an infusion of God's grace and a powerful outward sign of a personal relationship.
Baptism is an infusion?
That's what they're saying.
Right. But is that what they're saying?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
I mean, that's what the words are.
They even say right on the first line of the paragraph that's a big step in a believer's life. So when the baptism time comes, they're already classified as a believer according to them.
Right, but it also says it is a cleansing from sin.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely
would disagree. So which is that?
I would.
But yet there's no power
in the
water.
Caution me.
Yeah. I mean, what would be the difference between a Lutheran? I mean, wouldn't a Lutheran say that the sacraments are a means of grace?
Surely, absolutely would.
So would they be heretical?
Right, and where does that stop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I did a paper a few years back on Acts 2:38, and I read a Church of Christ commentator, and his phraseology was salvation by grace through faith at baptism. That was how he phrased it. And so the first thing was still grace and faith, but they do put something in the baptism, you know, because half of the paragraph you're like, okay, I'm with you, and then there's just a little something there that seems to add to what we see in Scripture.
Right, because I mean, to call them a believer, why are they? I mean, mm-hmm. Like you're more of a believer, like you're super duper believer, you know. I mean, believers kind of like pregnant. I mean, either you are or you're not.
Yeah, especially, I mean, when you bring up the Lutheran example, or you bring in any other kind of, you know, child baptism example. Like, are we not in many? Yeah, are we not in many cases baptizing unbelievers? So, you know, is that much different than what we're talking about here? As far as I mean, if we're going to weigh things out, you know, is it more dangerous to be baptizing unbelievers than it is to be baptizing believers? Even if we're as long as we've got faith and grace in this equation.
Well, why not include Baptists too? You, Johnny, have to get on your knees and pray and ask God to forgive you in order for him to save you. Baptists have been doing it themselves for a while, of trying to add something into
that. Brian, we can't be heretical.
No.
Right, and they have to be heretical.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone else. Not.
We can't be heretical.
Not the Baptist brides.
Well, I mean, they're heretical. We can't be heretical.
We're never wrong.
Well, we're not going to go down that road. Go ahead, John.
I think terminology is really important to establish from the beginning. And I think people could do this in all different ways. When I first looked, I want to know, okay, what's the definition of a heretic? I want to see someone's defined that for me because I want to see the rules by which we play. Well, the first thing that brought up, number one hit, was anything that disagrees with the dogma of the Catholic Church. So that's me.
Right.
Okay, I admit at the beginning.
I'm a heretic.
So we're using this word probably to say somebody who super duper really big disagrees with something about that's really big.
Right,
you know,
but
like
now,
salvation.
Right, let's refer to Trevor though. Trevor says they're adding to the gospel.
Right, and I'll get to that in a second because I was rereading that passage and I think there's something there. In Galatians, Paul talks about, he said, you know, where he talks about, though an angel deliver this gospel to you. But he goes out of his way to make sure. Now, what you're troubling yourself with, people who want to pervert the gospel, this isn't another gospel. It doesn't save you. Another gospel would be, so what he was really kind of saying is, you know, these guys are wrong. I mean, that's what he was saying. If someone comes and preaches you to a different, so in the passage, I see that there's a wrongness, like a confusion of the gospel, and then there's a whole nother level, which is if angels delivered unto you a different gospel other than Jesus. And it seems like the emphasis is the part about they remove Jesus. And what we're talking about is levels.
But the text doesn't say that, though.
Well, it does. It does.
It says another gospel.
Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. I marvel that you are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another. So he's saying that what you're chasing after is
you not, can't call it a gospel because there's
call
only
it gospel,
one gospel.
Right, because it's just it's lies. It's misguided. And who would pervert the gospel of Christ? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so I think that there was another one right here. But the idea to me is if you attack Jesus, then that's a heretic. And I don't know, you can slip down from there and get down and down and down into the examples that you gave about praying the prayer, and somewhere you cross over a line where, you know, you're not assaulting the deity of Christ.
Okay, but when does the gospel no longer the gospel?
That's what we have to try to determine. And so the problem is, you know, what are the rules by which we're going to play to determine that someone's a heretic?
And let's also think about how closely these two are linked. I mean, in the Great Commission, it's go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have the idea of repent and believe is left out of that commission. And so that, I mean, it seems like it's one in the same, that when you believe, you are baptized. It's not something that you good Christians are baptized. It's not something that you wait 15 years for or you don't do because you're afraid to go underneath the water.
Well, Bill makes the point all the time. He's not here, but Bill makes the point all the time that in the post days, post-Pentecost, Acts 2, your baptism was your profession of faith. You didn't make a profession of faith and then have a baptism.
And I guess what I was one of the points I was trying to make earlier was what Paul is telling them. The only thing that the text allows for is Paul saying, if someone comes up to you and preaches a different gospel than what we preach, let him be accursed.
Right, and Trevor,
so we have to find out what Paul preached. We have to find out the gospel Paul preached if we're going to include steps like repent, believe, you know, be baptized.
Well, I mean, we know the gospel that Paul preached. 1 Corinthians 15 is the gospel that Paul preached. The Silas and the jailer is the gospel that Paul preached.
So we have to define that very carefully.
Right, and so are we saying in this room that Paul included the baptism in the gospel?
No, he did not.
Not in a salvific manner, no.
No.
But it seems like many times, I mean, repent and be baptized is used.
Yeah, I mean, Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And I know there's some caveats with that, but we go, well, that's not what it means, but that's what it says. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we talked about it, was it yesterday or today or whatever, but, you know, Acts 2:38 is a difficult verse. You know, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Well, if I read that on the surface, I can see how somebody could look at that verse and say, all right, baptism is part of this thing. Now I can go through other parts of Scripture and say, all right, clearly the baptism, as Joey said, it's a He's assuming that. When you repent and believe, you get baptized. When you believe, you get baptized.
But the only reason you're able to do that, David, is because you have the rest, right?
Right.
Other narrative examples.
And so I think, you know, there are verses that we can read and look at. And if we're not looking at the whole of Scripture, if we're not studying some other verses, I think that it's very easy to read that verse and on an interpretation say, well, it seems like baptism is part of salvation. Now, so my point is, can somebody have some views that I believe are misinterpreted and still be a brother in Christ? And I think they absolutely can.
Exactly. Well, how about Mark 16? Mm-hmm. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And look at that. Now that you're talking about, if I could preach an entire sermon on that thing to get people baptized, right?
Yeah.
Especially if someone didn't know the rest of their New Testament.
And that's one of the verses that one of the Church of Christ documents I read that they used to support their cause.
Of course, right. So are they heretics, or do we have a difference in understanding of Scripture?
I would have a difficult time in looking at someone who, especially a church like the Robertsons go to, who their statement of faith I don't have an issue with, and then they have a misconstrued view, as we would see on baptism, to look at them and say, you're an absolute heretic. When they have, it's plainly written, now compiling all of the New Testament evidence, we would say otherwise, but they're not making something up.
Yeah, and I think maybe even, and we talk about comparing Scripture with Scripture, is which Scripture are we going to allow to be the authoritative Scripture? This is maybe just playing devil's advocate here, but are we saying that one passage is more inspired than another passage?
I think we're looking at the holistic thing, the entire message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have like Acts 16. What must I do to be saved? Yep. Now, if baptism was essential for salvation, at that moment, we would expect David to hear Paul say, be baptized.
Let's go find some water.
Right, because, I mean, we got this great question.
Right.
You know, and if you're holding out on something that doesn't save me, and I asked you that question, man, what kind of man are you? Because I asked you, what does it take to be saved? And if you know, because you're the Apostle Paul, that I need to be baptized to be saved, why didn't you mention it?
Yeah, and I think that's what you do. If you really carefully study, belief is always the precursor. Faith in Christ is always the precursor to baptism. I think an interesting one is Acts 19, when we're talking about baptism. In Acts 19, it says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. I think it's interesting that they're called disciples there. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. We were baptized. And look at what Paul says. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. So they repented and were baptized.
Right.
Before he got there.
Right.
And then he says, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized in a baptism of repentance. And Paul said, okay, that's great, but you have to believe on Christ. And when they believe, he baptized them in the name of Jesus.
Right. Now, how many people in Acts chapter 2, David, fit the exact same criteria?
Right.
Under John the Baptist's preaching ministry, had already been baptized.
Right.
And now Peter's telling them that you just crucified the Christ. Mm-hmm. That was who John was talking about. You missed it, you idiots.
Right.
The Holy Spirit falls, regenerates souls, and his words are, repent, so turn from that sin of rejecting the Messiah and be baptized.
Right.
And I'm standing there going, you're asking me to be baptized again? I've already done that once as a Jew.
Which was already out of character for a Jew.
Exactly, right. Because I'm circumcised, a child of Abraham, and now I'm going to do this a second time? Mm-hmm. You know, what would provoke me to do such a thing? Only conversion.
Mm-hmm. A supernatural conversion.
And it seems like in the stuff that Joey read from the churches, you know, even if they may be putting too much emphasis on baptism, but they did seem to talk about faith in Christ first.
Yeah.
So a different gospel? I'm not sure we can call this a different gospel.
Well, just
I think they're adding some red tape to the process, but I don't believe it's a different gospel.
I mean, Phil himself said in the GQ article that got him in so much trouble, if you simply put your faith in Jesus coming down in flesh through a human being, God becoming flesh, living on the earth, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, being buried and being raised from the dead, yours, mine, and everybody else's problems would be solved.
Right, and he says nothing about baptism.
Nothing about
baptism. I asked Bill to send me some thoughts since he couldn't be with us, and he said, I have not heard Phil Robertson speak of baptism at all, much less having salvific value. I have heard him preach or testify no less than 5 times. So again, this podcast is not about Phil. Okay, Because nobody in this room can tell whether Phil's saved or not.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so I mean,
but we're not supposed to be supporting him, though, because he's a heretic. That was the Trevor's...
yeah, that was his contention, yeah. Right. And I guess it's fair to say that we're not sure if Phil's a heretic or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the way it's leaning, from what we know, unless there's a YouTube video out there or something in which he's doing something different, then it's fair to say that he is communicating salvation, Christ and Christ mm-hmm. alone.
And this is why I'm struggling for. I want an answer about where the line is, because what you say and what you practice can be two different things a lot of the time. And what I mean by that is people can say Christ and Christ alone, but what they practice is, okay, if you're going to be right with God or prove that you're saved or whatever the language is, then you have to do X, Y, Z. You know, you have to show up to church 5 times. You have to not wear pants, whatever it is. I mean...
Right, and no one ever says that stuff is another gospel.
I mean, there are wackos that say you can only be saved out of the King James Bible.
And so the question becomes...
So we're all heretics.
We're all heretics.
Right. At what point is someone really... And I would... For me, it would be... If someone would say, believing in Jesus is not enough. That, for me, is good enough. Okay, you're a heretic. But I'm not sure that even... and I don't know whether to call them brothers or not, but I'm at the point where I still think they're brothers and sisters in Christ, that they would... Even with their doctrine, I don't think they'd be comfortable with that. I don't think they say, well, I can believe in Jesus, really believe in Jesus and not be saved. I just think that they think if you really believe in Jesus, you're going to be baptized.
Well, I think when we say the word they, it's too broad of a brush.
Right.
Because let's recognize that there are clearly Orthodox Church of Christ out there that would tell you, if you're not baptized, you're going to hell. Now, we haven't found one here so far. But I'm here to tell you, they're there. Just like in this room, there are people. I was in a church in Oklahoma in 1995 that I was told that if I hadn't been baptized by a person who was baptized by a Baptist, by a blah, 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 all the way back to John the Baptist, that my baptism wasn't valid. Okay? So they're out there. They're everywhere. Orthodox Lutherans, Orthodox Catholics. I mean, let's remember, there's many Catholics that'll tell you, if you're not a Catholic, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right. So... I hear what you're saying, John, but the issue is, at what point is it no longer the gospel? If I tell you, you've got to be baptized to be saved, is it still the gospel?
Yeah, I think there's a... It has to do with the delivery. It has to do with how we're defining things. Like John was saying, how are we defining these terms? Because I think we can be very guilty of swinging to the other side and going, you know what, baptism's not that important. Just believe and you're okay. Yeah. Yes.
How can you say baptism is not that important?
Yeah, are we allowing people to go, yeah, you need to get baptized, but, you know, we'll get around to it. And I think we're guilty of that sometimes. We swing to the other side and yes, it is. It's all about belief. It's all about faith. Absolutely. But baptism is a really important component to identifying as a follower of Christ. So, I think there's...
Why does it take somebody who's converted 10 years to get baptized?
Yeah. When the Philippian jailer, that night, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family.
Yeah, the Ethiopian eunuch is like, what's preventing me now? Can we get some water? You know, as soon as he believes, he says, okay...
I'm going to get baptized. Philip, I want to let everybody know.
Philip says, there's nothing preventing you now. Let's go get you baptized. You have faith in Christ. So, I mean, I think there's a... I'm almost more comfortable with somebody making too much of baptism than making light of baptism.
The thing that really brings
me... Wow. Now we got a heretic in the discussion.
I don't want to identify baptism with salvation by any means, but I don't want to make light of it either. I'd rather somebody make a big deal about it than sweep it under the rug.
And I think that, this is a really complicated issue. I mean, because there's all kinds of things that impact this. Your view of the election of God impacts this. Because the argument then becomes, and what I've seen a lot of, all Baptists on our side will be, well, that's just a salvation by works if you have to get baptized. That's something you do. Well, come on, buddy. Please be honest. Believing is something you do, too. And that's a work. But we put that in a whole separate category. Oh, no. Believing is some kind of special work that... Well, it depends on your view of election. if believing is something I have to muster with this divine spark in me and it doesn't really come while I'm dead, then...
But it is something you
then
do.
It is something
but
I do.
But if faith is a gift of God, John...
Right. Then, so then if you believe in the election of God, then the baptism part... I mean, if you believe that baptism has to be part of salvation, or without it, you're not saved, then you can't tell me you believe in the election of God.
Okay, but just bear in mind, John, Church of Christ are not Reformed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they're exceptionally Arminian.
Right. And so that's what I think is a little red flag to me.
Right. I mean, you don't hear Phil talking about the sovereignty of God or any that is not a part. But we don't say that makes it a false gospel. No one would suggest that, right?
Right.
I mean, I haven't heard anybody suggest that because you deny God's unconditional election of souls that you're not preaching the true gospel. We determine that to be a doctrinal difference of interpretation of Scripture. So what's a doctrinal difference of interpretation of Scripture, and what's heresy?
There's the million-dollar question.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because that's what we're saying. Paul says, if it's another gospel, let him be accursed. So at what point does it become another gospel?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that Mormons are preaching another gospel. You know, it's clear that I think you could even argue that the Catholic Church is preaching another gospel.
There's no doubt the Catholic Church is preaching another gospel. They're not going to tell you that faith in Christ is sufficient for salvation.
Yeah.
But Alexander Campbell would not have told you that faith in Christ is enough for salvation. There wasn't anyone admitted into the church membership without baptism. But wait a minute, that's us also.
Yeah, and I think what if we had somebody in the church profess faith in Christ, and we said, you know, when are you going to get baptized? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Well, wouldn't that throw up a red flag for us? Wouldn't that say?
Well, we would question their salvation.
I had a friend in college who refused to get baptized. She said, "I'm not going to get baptized." I said, "He said, go there, teach all nations, and baptize them." I mean, you can't tell me that it's not a command. It's something that I just don't want to get baptized. I don't think that I have to. How can you take those two things that are so closely united and try to separate them? It's hard to fathom that you could really be a genuine believer and not be baptized. It's concerning, for sure.
Right, which is one of the reasons why we do not allow anyone to become a member of the church who has not been baptized.
But before we baptize them, we also sit down with them and make sure that they understand the gospel. And he would say the same thing in his book. He said that. I made sure they understand what they were doing when I took them down to the creek behind my house and baptized them. It wasn't this willy-nilly thing like you see on TV sometimes where the people are just walking in a long line and the preacher's
why
just
why is he making sure that they understand what they're doing if baptism saves them? Why not just get them dunked?
Yeah. because they obviously believe that there is a faith element to this. And it seems like some of them are saying that this baptism is the evidence of your faith.
Is it the cherry on top of the sundae, the bow on the gift?
Well, that's what I was trying to say. I think that a lot of people are just confused about... I mean, in the first place, this isn't really like a denomination.
Yes, it is a denomination.
They're loosely tied, though. They don't have like a main...
I mean, they would be kind of
governing body.
They would be kind of like...
They're just like us.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is there's not a...
There isn't an entity, right? There isn't an entity that communicates,
that explains what they believe,
right?
So, you know, once again, we run into the same problem as if we were to, you know, categorize all independent fundamental Baptist churches. But I think that a lot of people in these churches would agree with what we're saying, but they don't know that they go to a church that the heritage of it is so blatantly, like you would say, they wouldn't accept anybody into the roles that would say, no, I'm saved with baptism.
Right, and just like independent Baptists, these churches have the exact same spectrum, because out of the Campbell movement, you know, Campbellites, and they had the heavy emphasis on baptism, they came out of Ohio. Well, we have the Church of Christ, Church of Christ non-instrumental. Mm-hmm. We have the Disciples of Christ. And within the Disciples of Christ, which is an outgrowth of this Campbellite movement, you've got homosexuals as pastors. Okay? So in the exact same way that we have independent Baptist, you know, Southern Baptist, either one, because remember, Southern Baptists don't have a hierarchy either. They do have a Baptist faith and message that ties them together. There isn't such a statement with this organization.
Right.
So every church has to be examined on its own merits. But Trevor's exactly right. He does know his church history exceptionally well. And the origin of this denomination, loosely termed, is that the Baptist did not have it right. And we need to start new churches that put a salvific emphasis on baptism. And if I want to do that, all I got to do is preach from Mark 16.
Right.
And then when I'm done with Mark 16, I trump it up with Acts 2, and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. Go, Steve.
Well, I mean, it just, you know, as I've thought about it and considered it, I mean, I think, you know, in the broad spectrum, a heretic is anyone that changes the gospel. You know, if they add to it or take away from it, which I would agree with Jonathan, that, you know, the gospel is the, you know, the good news, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. So if it's not including Christ, or if Christ is not the center piece of that, then it isn't the gospel. But the same, if we're saying, and I think it's all in the interpretation, or all in exactly what maybe somebody from the Church of Christ, their thought process, or, you know, and we can hear what they're saying, but we don't know what they mean by that, perhaps. But, you know, if they say believe on Jesus and be baptized or you're going to go to hell, obviously that's heresy, because that's not what Scripture teaches. You know, we know that the thief on the cross trusted in Christ, and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And, you know, he didn't get baptized. So does that mean that Jesus lied and he right. went to hell because he didn't get baptized, and that's essential? So. Of course, it's not. So, you know, we can't draw that line and say, you know, you have to be baptized or you're going to go to hell. You know, I think that at that point, you know, Galatians, yes, you are adding to the gospel. You know, is baptism important? Yes, of course, as David has said, you know, when a believer gets saved, you know, should their desire be to follow in baptism and be baptized? Of course. You know, and if they don't have that desire, as Joey said, then, you know, yeah, maybe they, you know, it was a false profession. Maybe they're, you know, believing in their head, not their heart, or, you know, they understand the truth, but they haven't accepted it. But again, I mean, those are all, you know, we can't see inside them and say, you know, yes, you know, you're Church of Christ, but you're believing in your baptism, not Jesus, so, you know, you're not saved. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be Church of Christ and, you know, hey, I trusted Christ, and then the pastor said, yep, you got to get baptized now or you're going to go to hell. You know, and yes, I trusted Christ, that's what I'm believing on, but, you know, here my pastor said I got to get baptized too, so, you know, I did it. But it wasn't that in their heart they felt as though, you know, if I don't get my baptism, then I'm going to go to hell.
Right, and that's a case-by-case basis.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I'm very comfortable saying, as a whole, the Church of Christ doctrine is heretical. I can make that blatant statement. What we're saying by that is, if someone, like in that example you gave, a pastor says, if you don't repent, believe, and then be baptized, any one of those pieces are missing, you're going to hell. That's a heretical doctrine.
Right. Bill says, here's his second point, and he's pretty blunt. Anybody who adds to salvation by faith is going to hell, even if it is a belief that baptism saves. Well, and it's kind of hard to argue with that, because at what point do we allow people to add to the finished work of Christ and it no longer be heresy?
Yeah.
But I think we got to really be careful here because of what Brian said. Let's face it, Baptists have been adding to the gospel for a long time. If I tell you, Joey, you have to ask Jesus in your heart to be saved, haven't I just said that faith in Christ is not enough?
There has to be an articulation.
Faith that he can do it is enough. You have to ask for it.
Yeah, I think that I think it's the case-by-case thing. I think that's how we've got to look at it. You know, is the Campbell movement and that heretical, as John said? Yeah, that is. Is Phil Robertson heretical? I don't know, because I don't know what his faith is in. But what from what we've heard, what he's articulated before, We've never heard him say, my faith is in my baptism. So here's our line. Is baptism necessary for salvation? No. But is baptism necessary for the believer? Yes. You know, wouldn't we all agree with that? Is it necessary? Yeah,
we would say necessary. That. We would say the Lord's Supper is necessary. Well, for
and
the
that, you know, I know growing up in fundamentalism, you know, it was. I think some preachers obviously took it too far, but you know, they're like, you know, if you do X, Y, Z, you're not saved. All right. So they're adding to the gospel of okay, you know, you have faith in Christ, you're baptized, but now if you do one of these sins, then you're not saved. Well, yes, they are adding, but you know. Yeah, I think a lot of them, I don't think that was really their, you know, I don't think their intent was to say you're not saved, but, you know, to keep you from that sin.
Or it's like if you, okay, a prescription is, you know, if you do X, Y, and Z, or if you, I mean, if you're saved, you wear pants and carry the King James, I mean, wear a skirt, carry the King James and all this, that's one thing. If you say, okay, I'm making an observation here, people who murder people and have adultery, you're probably not saved. Okay.
Well, Paul says that. Right. I got scripture to back that up, you know. Yeah.
Right. So, and adulterers are not going to heaven. Those, I wouldn't call a lot of those pastors necessarily heretical because they weren't really saying, what I really believe here is if you don't carry the King James, you're not saved. Now, however, Joey said he does know of some folks that say that if you weren't saved out of the King James Bible,
Of course. If Bill was here, he would tell us what church is the name of the pastor.
But I also know guys I graduated with from college or went through college with that have reached a point where... I mean, they do preach, you know, you have to be saved, you have to be baptized, and then you have to do all these things to maintain your salvation. And if not, then, you know, you've lost it.
And Steve, in that case, the finished work of Christ is not enough.
Exactly. So, I mean, I would say their doctrine's heretical, because, again, they're adding to the gospel and saying, you know, this isn't enough, you have to continue... You know, giving to the church and living right and volunteering so many hours and on and on and on, almost, you know, like the Pharisees, they've just added on to the law.
Well, that's very Catholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very Catholic.
But this indicts our doesn't this indict our Free Will Baptist brethren and our Methodist brethren? I mean, that you can lose this, so you've got to have a.
But they would never say that, Joey. Yeah. They would never say that my faith is in continuing. Yeah. You know, they would always say it's faith in Christ and Christ alone. So, and that's why we don't say that they're heretics. We say that they have a different understanding of the security of the believer. Because if you said to them, if we went up to several of our Free Will Baptists that we play basketball with and all that, is your faith in yourself and in continue? No, I'm saved by faith in Christ and Christ alone. But not any different than what Phil said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Phil said almost the same stuff. And Trevor asked on the podcast, if Phil doesn't believe that, why doesn't he leave his church? But maybe his preacher doesn't believe that baptism is necessary for salvation.
And I think most of them probably wouldn't. If you pinned them down and said, you know, who did the saving work? You know, Christ. What are you trusting in? Christ. I don't think a lot of them are going to run to baptism. I think maybe I've met a lot of Baptists in the churches I go to, that when I say, hey, give me your testimony, they say, I was baptized on so and so.
Oh, yeah, we have a major problem with that.
So, clearly, you know, but then you say, okay, so the baptism saved you? Oh, no, the baptism, Christ saved me. So the way to talk about these things is very confusing, I think, to people.
Right, let's remember, Phil's not a theologian.
No, but he is an elder at his church.
But he does study his Bible a lot. But let's not say that he's not a theologian. I mean, he taught at a Christian school. I mean, you know,
he doesn't present himself as a theologian.
Right, he doesn't present himself as a theologian. He hasn't been to seminary. That doesn't mean you have to go to seminary. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is he doesn't feel the obligation to be careful with what he says in order to properly articulate a theological perspective because he is a representative of a denomination. Yeah, right, you understand what I'm saying by that?
He's a guy who was, Dave and I were talking about earlier, he was beating his wife, drinking, drugs, running from the law from a bar fight he got into, and then was radically changed, did a 180. I mean, just a 180. Believes the gospel, is baptized, starts becoming faithful in the church, and basically from that point on, he decided that his mission was to preach the gospel to everybody he could preach the gospel to.
Right, and how do we know that he's not inside that church doing his best to influence that church to push down baptism and exalt Christ and Christ alone, and he doesn't feel the call to abandon the church? he's the guy that's going to stay with the church and fix it. You know, yeah. I mean, I think about Adrian Rogers, you know, in the day and age in which people were abandoning the Southern Baptist Convention left and right. Jerry Falwell left the Southern Baptist Convention, established an independent fundamental Baptist church. Adrian Rogers said, I don't want to abandon my convention. I'm going to stay here and fix it within. So just because you stay with an entity doesn't immediately identify you as a heretic.
Yeah, I think your point on him, I just think he's a regular guy. I think he just speaks what's on his mind. And is he ignorant? No, you know, he has this backwoods look to him, and that probably plays to his advantage in a lot of these cases. But I think the fact that he's not a theologian, I don't think Phil's sitting around studying the Greek. I don't think he's doing that. You know,
he studies his Bible. I don't think he's studying. You know,
And I feel like it kind of brings to mind when the disciples run to Jesus and say, you know, Lord, there's a guy over here, mm-hmm. and he's preaching in your name. Leave him alone. He loves me. He's not against us. You know, he may not have everything right. You know, he's not in our inner circle here where you're getting to hear directly from my mouth. But he's doing right. Now, I don't necessarily think that that's a perfect parallel, but from what I see, the fruit that I see, it's like when I talk about C.S. Lewis and I get emails all the time about heretical C.S. Lewis is. I can't read his work and look at his life and say that the fruit is there for me. I think with Phil, the fruit is there.
It's hard to look at Phil and say, that's a guy whose eyes have been blinded by the God of this world.
Mm-hmm. When he had such a dramatic turnaround. But lots of people, you can be a Mormon and have a dramatic turnaround.
True. That's very true. But he's not professing Mormon doctrine.
He's preaching the gospel.
He's professing Christ and Christ
alone.
And
he doesn't say things like, the five or six times I've heard him preach the gospel, and his son Jace doesn't either. They're not saying things like, ask Jesus into your heart. The Gospel Coalition had a video up with Jace a couple months ago where he's telling the gospel. You gotta put your faith in Jesus Christ. You know? And sometimes I wonder, are they doing this because they don't want to alienate the Baptist? We want more speaking opportunities. So we're going to back off of this issue because it's not that important to us.
And I know there's criticism, and it's a whole other conversation about the Christian celebrity idea and could he be doing something different? And again, I think that's a whole different conversation. But I just feel like that we have to judge him on what we have in front of us. You know, and you look at his house, and he doesn't live in a mansion. He's not a prosperity gospel guy.
He basically lives in a double wide trailer.
You know, and sure, they have tons of money. They're millionaires. You know, and most of that was made before they ever got this show. But I just feel like there's a reality there. Now, can a nice guy be a heretic? Sure, he can. But I think the fruit can kind of speak for itself a little bit here, in my opinion.
And that's a fact, Jack.
Yeah, and I think if you want to, you got a Church of Christ guy that you work with. I mean, you sit down and ask him, what do you think?
Yeah.
And make a determination based on that. You know, been painting with a broad, rather than painting with such a broad brush, I think it's dangerous to do that, you know? And then I think this one church, the Hills in Nashville, you know, what do you mean by it's a means of grace?
Well, they seem like they're tiptoeing around it.
Yeah.
And I would feel like, my guess would be, and this is totally unsubstantiated, but my guess is a large majority of them would be tiptoeing around it because they would never in their wildest dreams think that Christ wasn't enough.
Yeah.
But they just need to know how to say baptism is so important.
Right.
And that it always occurs when people get saved. They don't know how to do that.
Well, I know that when I find myself at Mark 16 and I read that verse, I feel like I have this responsibility to make sure you know that baptism doesn't save. Almost to the point at which I'm letting people sit in the pews, David, and continue not to follow the Lord in believer's baptism.
Right.
But you
know,
balance,
I mean, I wrote a guy a note, three or four notes, phone calls, and I have to get the guy baptized. That's ridiculous. I don't think that Peter would have done what I did. You know, he would have said, the guy's not saved, because saved people get baptized.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and maybe I was wrong in my pursuit of that. I felt like I was helping what I believe to be a saved guy, follow the Lord in believer's baptism is how we articulate it. But maybe I should have just said, maybe he's not saved. Because saved people get baptized.
Right.
I mean, that's Phil's point. Maybe it's his point. I don't know.
Some of their point, but others of them, it's very confusing.
I have a question. I know we're not here to debate the whole baptism, salvation issue. The issue was is he a heretic or not?
Is that
right?
Heresy.
So the pivotal question there would be, if you say something else other than Christ saves you, I mean, that's the big glaring issue. Mm-hmm. And our evidence for that is based on Paul's writing, because Paul was the one that really emphasized the fact that you can't trust in anything else other than Christ's work. I mean, wouldn't you agree? In the New Testament, Paul's the big guy with that message. I mean, he's the one. But we have a balance of Christ saying, "Go ye therefore and baptize and teach all nations."
Yeah. Well, the first thing is to make disciples. Make disciples, right? And so,
and baptizing them, and
right. So we would say that the method by which we make a disciple is their conversion.
Right. So we have, on the one hand, Christ including baptism. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can try to simplify this. Christ includes baptism, but Paul never includes baptism in the same way that Christ does.
I think that's a fair statement. We don't have the same
level. But doesn't mean because he left it out, he didn't.
I don't think we can say he left it out, because Joey's point is well taken with regard to, if we just follow Paul's example in Acts 16, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying.
And he immediately follows it up with baptism. So it's hard to imagine that Paul doesn't see baptism as important.
Right. And I didn't mean leave it out as him saying you don't have to do it, but he didn't write about it.
Not in the same sense. I mean, we look at Ephesians 2, and there's that's a prime opportunity for Paul to talk about baptism if he wants to. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, at that point, we're ready to talk about baptism, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's where I'd talk about baptism at this point. And he says, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, that's where I would expect it to see a reference to baptism,
right?
But it's missing, and really, it's nowhere.
Yeah, and if you look outside of the narrative part of Acts, you don't, and in Romans 6, for the most part, you don't see it.
It's not Paul's. But also, though, we can argue the same thing with regard to repentance.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason is because Paul is writing to attack the idea of circumcision and keeping the law, rather than to worry about this thing of baptism, because that's not the people's issue. Mm-hmm. The people's issue isn't the baptism part. The people's issue is they're putting great faith
in
the circumcision and keeping the law. So Paul is, his documents are not to really attack that idea or expound on the idea of baptism in its rightful place or where it should be. It's to attack. And so when he writes, if you bring another gospel, he is clearly talking about trusting in this Judaizer idea of trusting in the Jewish law and Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But we have to recognize that none of the Bible, I mean, none of the Bible was written to be a systematic theological book.
And that's what Bill would say if he were here. He would remind us that quickly.
That the author wasn't sitting down and saying, now, what are all the questions that this can bring up, and let me make sure that I provide clarifying footnotes. Because, you know, we're in Genesis 1. You know, Genesis 1 has got a lot of issues, guys, you know? Mm-hmm. Plants are being created before the sun.
But there was already light.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And where did that light come from? You know, and so, I mean, let's face it. The Lord didn't say, now, I want to make sure that I answer all their questions. And so I'm going to make sure that I anticipate the question and provide the answer in the subsequent verse. I mean, we read in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance of God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And that's all it says.
Yep. And then there's Peter. Acts, you have Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Right. Nothing about baptism.
Right, nothing about, right. And we would expect,
which is it?
Like Paul, okay, let's go ahead, let's get repent, let's get believe, let's get, like, let's put it down, yeah. Paul.
Part one, part two,
right,
part
exactly.
Three. He wasn't creating a a vacation Bible school program, so he didn't have to put all the steps of.
He wasn't doing an ABC.
No, he certainly wasn't. There wasn't this necessity to try to anticipate the questions that they're going to have.
And couldn't work for life.
But even in the Gospels, Jesus says, follow me. If I follow you, is that the same as conversion?
That's it.
Yeah, but follow? I mean, I'm following you. Maybe that sounds like
I think that's an interesting conversation too. Is when is the disciples' moment of salvation? Mm-hmm. I think it's when they turn and follow him. Somebody else may argue it's Matthew 16 when Peter says, "Thou art the Christ." You know,
Well, and you know, John MacArthur did the same thing. And I mean, are we calling him a heretic? Because I read his book, Hard to Believe, and he makes a pretty good case that if you don't take up your cross and follow him, then you're not saved.
The Lordship.
So is that part of salvation too? I have got to take up a cross and follow him? So it becomes, I think, that the thing that we love about the scriptures, which it's, you know, all these books over all these times, all these writers, and it's amazing how it still is right there in a narrow scope. I mean, it's not something totally radically off, you know, between Paul and Christ. I mean, it's not just like out of left field. It's just like a little nuance. Paul wasn't talking about that. He was focusing on something else.
Well, listen to what Homer Kent says.
Who?
Homer Kent. We would, he's a Baptist, I believe, Baptist Seminary, Grace Theological Seminary. Repent means to change the mind, and here includes all aspects of conversion, including faith. It is coupled with baptism, the outward public confession that this repentance has occurred. But he goes on to say, it's incorrect to link for the remission of sins solely with baptism, so as to suggest that water baptism brings forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, I think the thing that we mess up on a lot of times is we want that systematized step one, step two, step three, where I don't know that it's step one, step two, step three. I don't think you repent unless you believe. I don't think you believe unless you repent. You know, I did Luke 12 with the youth last night, and Jesus equates belief in Christ with fear of God. If you don't fear God, you're not going to believe in His Son. If you don't believe in His Son, you don't fear God. No, they both got
to
be there.
No, David, everything has to be linear. Yeah. Okay, everything has to be linear. I'm linear, okay?
Yeah.
What's the first thing you want me to do? What's the second thing you want me to do? And so we have this giant, is regeneration coming before belief?
Right.
Is regeneration coming after belief? And God is not linear.
No.
Okay,
God is in time constraints.
No, God is not linear, okay? He created linear thinking, but He has not obligated Himself to linear thinking. We are the ones that are linear. Let's remember that he existed outside of in the beginning, and He will exist outside of the end. But I want to know, what's the first thing I got to do?
Yeah, it's kind of think, okay, I've repented, Lord. Can I believe now? Okay, I believe. Now what I do? And that's just not how it works.
No, it's follow me. Just follow me. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Anything more? No, follow me.
Because once that happens, you're going to repent, you're going to believe, you're going to have faith,
you're
going to get baptized.
Exactly. How do I not repent if I'm following you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've turned. You know, how do I not believe? The reason I'm following you is because I believe in you. Yeah. Where would we go, God? You were the only one that had the words of life.
Mm-hmm. John 6.
I don't think we can overemphasize belief.
And Judas didn't.
Yeah.
And the rich young ruler didn't. So all you have him follow me. I don't think I can do that. All right.
Mm-hmm. And he let him go.
Yeah, go away.
Yeah.
He wasn't a good Baptist.
No. Nope.
A good Baptist would have chased the guy to the ground until he prayed the prayer.
Take this tract and get back.
Like that woman that was willing to touch the hem of his garment. You know, let me just touch it. Let me just...
And that'll be enough.
Yeah. If I can just get close to you and touch you, I mean, you know...
It'll be sufficient.
It'd be sufficient.
You don't have to say anything. You have to give me any attention.
And the guy in Mark 9, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, wait a second. Your unbelief? But Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Give me more faith. But my faith is weak.
Or just say it and she'll be healed.
Yeah, just say it.
Just say it, Lord. You don't have to come. Just, I know you can heal her from right here. You know?
All evidence of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see Phil doing anything to mitigate faith.
Mm-mm. No.
Not the individual. I said, if we want to talk about the origins of the movement, yes, we can talk about heresy. But... I think we got it, like we said. I think you got to take things on a case by case basis.
Wouldn't we do that with any other believer?
Right.
But let's make sure we all understand this room. None of us are experts on him. We haven't listened to every sermon.
Sure.
We haven't read every book that he has. There could be a something out there
could
that
be.
We have yet to discover that would blow this entire discussion out of the water. But again, it's not about Phil. It's about the idea of what makes someone accursed.
I'm interested to know. Is the pastor who says, well, unless you get saved, I mean, unless you get baptized, you're not going to heaven, is he going to end up in heaven? I guess that's the big question that we want to know.
Well,
is that
of course,
guy be in heaven?
I mean, that's why, you know, when I read
God
Bill's statement...
God saved him in spite of that.
I mean, you know, Bill, anyone who adds to salvation by faith is going to hell, even if it is a belief that baptism saves. Okay. Well, let me just throw out something wild, all right? Let's talk about Campbell, Alexander Campbell, the Campbellites,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Now, is Campbell University related to
that? No, it has nothing to do with that. All right, so the guy is saved in a Baptist church. So we don't think you can lose your salvation.
Or was he? Yeah, I guess that would be the question.
Or was he?
He went out from us because he was not of us.
Right. Well, or does he have a theological issue that he just got upside down on as a converted man?
Just like Calvin kind of got upside down on some things.
Right. I mean, you understand what I'm asking? Because if he's in a gospel-preaching church, and let's just take one of our young men that we know beyond a doubt has heard the true gospel, because we believe we're preaching the true gospel here, and was converted, and what professed faith, and we saw lots of evidence of conversion, and then at the age of 31 or something like that, he finds something and is over here out. Does that mean he wasn't saved when he was 19? Or is it possible to be wrong theologically on an interpretation of Scripture?
And this is where the doctrine, I think, of perseverance of the saints comes in. Who is persevering? Am I persevering? Or is he persevering for me, making me persevere?
And what the perseverance must be. Is the perseverance just to believe in the personal work of Jesus Christ? Or is the perseverance in some sort of life that displays a converted life?
I don't think we've been helpful at all. You know? I don't think...
Well, that happens a lot when we come here. The fact of the matter is things are not as cut and dry as we would like them. And this is why we're not rude and abusive to other to Presbyterians, to Lutherans, to Methodists, to Free Will Baptists, because Church of Christ, they read Scripture and you can see where they get their information. It's not like they're Mormons and they got a second book they're reading from.
Right. It's not like they're Catholics and they're pulling from what the Pope says more than the Word of God. Again, the third thing that Bill sent me was salvation and security are promised only to believers. And he quotes 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So again, who knows if Alexander Campbell is in heaven or not?
Yeah.
Who knows if he transferred his faith from Christ and Christ alone to baptism? And we would say that if he was genuinely converted as a boy, that it was impossible for him to transfer his faith because God kept him.
Well, I would say that the question then for me is because obviously if you say Christ doesn't save you, baptism does, then we got a big issue.
Right.
But nobody does that.
Right, but what if you
say Christ
these two things save you?
Christ plus baptism. You got to have both.
But then that's these Judaizers. This kind of goes back to the issue with Paul. Right. All right, you got Christ, but you got to be circumcised.
Right, and that's heresy. So we can hear some heretics out there.
I'm not convinced of that from the Scripture. I'm not convinced that Paul was saying that adding that stuff was heresy. I think he was getting on to them for having it wrong. I think if you came and preached a different Jesus, that was heresy.
Okay.
I'm just not convinced from the text.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, the burden of proof is still on that.
But he didn't get up to Peter and say, Peter, you're a heretic.
Right, because Peter struggled with that.
He said, you know better.
He set him straight.
You know better.
And that's one of the reasons I think that.
I think that's fair, John.
So, I don't know. There's something going on there, but once again, I'm not fully informed about that yet. So,
but I think we can distinguish between going, you're a heretic, and what you're saying is wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, they're creeping ever closely towards that line for me.
Well, a heretic is not saved.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I think we can say that. But I do believe it's possible for a saved person to say something that's heretical.
Unless you use heretic is just inflammatory language when you do a podcast to say anybody who disagrees with me is really wrong.
Right.
And I just throw the word heretic out. A lot of preachers do that.
Right.
Guys are heretics.
Well, just like we throw out, you know, at PCC where I went to college, we threw out the word liberal a lot. Now, they're liberal. Well, are they really liberal? I mean, you listen to CCM music and they read the NIV, that makes you liberal.
Yeah, well, Joe and I were talking earlier and he brought up Karl Barth. You know, here's a guy that was strong on a lot of things in the gospel. Terrible on the text. Doesn't believe in inspiration. Is he saved? Can he still have faith in Christ if he doesn't believe that the Word of God is inspired and infallible?
Where does that stop?
That's difficult.
Right.
But he's trusting in Christ.
Right, can I have faith in Christ and believe in theistic evolution?
Yeah,
right.
We've got plenty of people that would say that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, Joby Martin, whose book we sell in the bookstore, Evolution of Creation, started out as he got saved. couldn't reconcile Genesis 1 with his scientific training, so he became a theistic evolution, he would fully tell you, I was trusting in Christ, but I just believe that God used this to create the world.
I believe Frank Turek's a theistic evolutionist, is he not?
Well, he certainly has a leaning towards that, or maybe he's a Big Bang guy with a long Earth.
Yeah.
And you can barely reconcile any of that with Genesis 1. I mean, you're really having a hard time with reconciling that. I remember a preacher in this church who said that God needs humans. Well, that's a heretical statement. God doesn't need anything. To suggest that God needs something means he's no longer God.
Yeah, to me, if any time you assault the character and nature that we find of the God in the Bible, and you say it's something else than what the Bible says, you're a heretic.
That's heresy.
Yes. So, I mean, if you say Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, you're
that's
a heretic.
That's heresy.
Sure. If you say it wasn't all God, that's heresy. Mm-hmm. Now, these things about the baptism, I mean, they're starting, uncomfortable,
right.
But
there's
not
that
sure.
line, right? There's that line, you know?
Where's the negotiable, non-negotiable line?
Yeah.
Right.
And let's remember that Peter said that there are people who have lacked these qualities and they have forgotten and they can't see back. They've forgotten that they've been purged from their sins. What do you mean? They haven't been cultivating the faith the way they're supposed to, and now they can't see back to where they to where they were converted.
And I'm sure we could all tell a story about somebody that we knew that however many years ago believed one thing, and they've studied Scripture and they've come around and believe something else now. And that would line up with, okay, they were young, they were immature, they believed this. Now they see Scripture this way, and they've matured in the fact. Or vice versa, maybe somebody that's maybe gone the other direction. I think interpretations can change for the individual for the better or the worse. Does that necessarily have anything to do with salvation? What are you trusting in? Again, we come back to that same question again and again.
All right, well, you're out there. You've got the answer. We haven't been able to figure it out, so we want you to comment and give us the answer, all right? Just lay it out. Tell us where we're souped up, like a screen door in a submarine, and then we'll read your comment, and we'll receive the clarity that's necessary. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.